Asking for a raise.
I love to sing.
Praise the Lord.
Bless me with the praise.
Replace the batteries today in the sound man, so he'll be good to go.
Yes, indeed. Let's go. Open up our hymnals to 34. We'll stand for our final hymn prior to the message tonight. Hymn 34. And this is what we need to be pressing for each and every day as God's people. Higher ground. Amen. Don't want to go backwards. We're going to go forwards and upwards for Jesus. Yes. And we're going to sing first, second, and fourth. Higher ground. Written by a preacher, Reverend Johnson Oatman.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Has no rise and face dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground.
Amen.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My feet on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, let my feet on higher. I went to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane. Lord, lead me on a higher ground.
Amen. Please be seated, church. It's actually, as many of the hymns are, it's actually a prayer where you're asking the Lord to take you higher in your spiritual life. And that's a prayer he wants to answer. You know that? He always wants to bring us higher in our walk with him. And he's faithful to do it if we only ask. All right, folks, at this time, let's grab our Bibles. And y'all been, some of you asked me, Pastor, what are we going to start next Wednesday? I always keep it a surprise till the last moment. Open up to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, praise the Lord. I have been wanting to get to this little book of the Old Testament for months now. The Lord said, now's a good time. And as we come to our study in the book of Ruth tonight, we're probably going to be 7 or 8 weeks altogether. It won't be as long as it was Romans chapter 8 because there was just so much material to cover there. But this is quite a book in the Old Testament. And I feel sorry for Christians that never opened the Old Testament. They are missing so much. And we need all the Bible, amen? Not just one little part of it. We never isolate a verse and build a doctrine on it either. We compare Scripture with Scripture. Praise the Lord. And here in the book of Ruth, before we begin tonight, we're laying the groundwork. And tonight, we're going to cover the first 5 verses, Lord willing, lest we get raptured. And we're going to talk about Naomi's affliction. Naomi's affliction. But before we get going, I want to show you something. Couple of things, actually. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Hold your place in Ruth. Coming right back. Matthew chapter 1. Ruth is a very special character in the Bible. And one of the reasons why is because Ruth is in the Messianic bloodline. Very important that you see that. Ruth was a Gentile. She was not Jewish. Yet she ended up in Messiah's bloodline. Look with me here in Matthew chapter 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamah, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Aminadab, easy for you to say. And Aminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, Boaz in the Greek, of Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Now notice here that Ruth is such a special character in the Bible that she's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And Boaz begat Obed and of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Notice how the Bible never covers up sin. Oh yeah, remember that? That was his one big fall, and it was a doozy. But here we find that Ruth is so special in the eyes of God that he included her in the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1. Something else, if you have a pen and a piece of paper, you can even write in the margin of your Bible in Ruth chapter 1 if you want. I want to give you seven characters from the book of Ruth that we're going to be looking at in the weeks ahead and who they represent spiritually. Because everything in the Bible portrays something for us spiritually. First, we have Naomi. Naomi represents Israel, the elect nation. Okay? I'll give you these again if you need me to. Elimelech. Elimelech, of course, was Naomi's husband. They were married, right? He represents the Old Covenant, the Mosaic. Orpah. Orpah represents lost Gentiles. Then we have Ruth herself. Ruth represents, you're going to like this, the Bride of Christ. The Bride of Christ. Boaz. We know who Boaz represents. The Great Redeemer. Yes, indeed. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Kinsman, whose name is not mentioned. He's just called the Kinsman because he was kin to Ruth and Naomi. He represents good works. Good works. Obed. Obed, the baby that Ruth had, represents new birth. New birth. So with these characters in mind and these spiritual types known, the book is going to make a lot more sense to you because the Holy Spirit has orchestrated his word in such a way that you and I today, upon whom the ends of the world are fallen, can learn from every book of the Bible. It's such a privilege. All right, let's get going. In Ruth chapter 1, we come to verse 1. Now, Ruth, the book of Ruth, is couched between the book of Judges and the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And I'm going to talk about the time context of its writing. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, Elimelech. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah. The name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman, Naomi, was left of her two sons and her husband. I want to speak to you tonight, beloved, on Naomi's affliction. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the word of God contained here in these verses of Ruth chapter 1. Lord, how we thank you for the typology that you give us, Holy Spirit, in your word. It's undeniable, it's unmistakable that everything in the Bible represents a spiritual truth, a reality that we're yet to discover. We're so thankful, Lord, for all parts of the scripture that you have given. It's a complete book, and it stands as one. Lord, we love your word tonight, and we're so grateful for this new series of studies and all that your Holy Spirit will instruct us in. And Lord, we're so thankful that we can dig out spiritual treasure from these pages and grow to love you even more as a result. And Lord, we ask you to bless us as we study. Give us understanding in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, beloved, the little book of Ruth is like the Song of Solomon. It's full of grace and truth. Here is much buried treasure by the Spirit of God for us to uncover. The time period of its writing is the same as that of the Judges, and more particularly, the Midianite oppression of Israel in the days of Gideon, approximately 1312 BC. That's over 3,300 years ago. Long time since its writing. But the context of the book is most likely Judges chapter 6. Remember in Judges chapter 6 where Gideon was called by God to fight the Midianites and Gideon's 300? He only had 300 guys against 130,000 Midianite soldiers. Guess who won the fight? Gideon. Why? Because God was with them. But that's the context. There was the battles with the Midianites and coupled together with famine in the land. We learned that from Judges chapter 6. That's the time, we believe, of the writing of the book of Ruth. And it's not a parable. This is an actual experience of this family. Okay? Now, something else. Tonight, as we begin our journey of Elimelech and Naomi, we'll focus on Naomi's affliction for tonight. In the first five verses, I want to give you five things quickly. First, notice there was spiritual famine. Look with me at verse number 1. The first thing I notice is spiritual famine. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Remember the book of Judges? That there was a famine in the land. Now, we know from studying Old Testament writings that there was a famine in the land spiritually. Why? Israel had gone away from their God. They fell into idolatry. God would send an enemy. He would raise up a judge to deliver them. He would deliver them, and they'd go back and repeat the same mistake. You think we can learn something from Israel? Yeah. But they kept on the cycle of sin. And this is the timing. And there was a spiritual famine in the land because God wasn't speaking through the prophets. Why? Because of their sin. If we have sin in our lives, God's not going to be talking to us. It's not that we're not saved anymore. It's not that he doesn't love us anymore. It's that sin has come between us and our Savior. We need to repent of that. We need to get right. Israel needed to get right. This is a picture. Now understand here, beloved, that the people of Israel had departed from God at this time. They'd fallen into idolatry. If you go to Judges chapter 21, I want to show you this. Just before chapter 1 of Ruth, Judges 21. Look at verse 24. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. They went home. In those days, there was no king in Israel. No leadership. Sound like America today? No leadership. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. See that? They weren't doing right in the eyes of God. They were doing their own thing and saying, hey, let us eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. They had forsaken God, and the result was spiritual famine, as well as the literal famine that took place. They didn't want to do what was right. So the land that once flowed with milk and honey has now become barren and unproductive. You know that you could become unproductive as a child of God? My biggest fear in my life is that God would ever put me on a shelf and stop using me for his honor and glory. That's my biggest fear, because that's the only thing that matters to me in the scope of eternity, to be used by God. Oh, folks, we need to be productive believers. Just as God said, Leviticus chapter 26, God warned them that this would happen, that they would become unproductive. Go to Leviticus, a powerful passage of warning to the children of Israel. In Leviticus 26, look with me at verse number 1. Verse 1 we read, Ye shall make you no idols, no graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither set you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. Why? For I am the Lord your God. God said, I don't want any other gods in your life but me. Do you know that God hasn't changed his mind about that? He doesn't want you and I to worship other things than him. And drop down to verse 18, same chapter. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, sounds like the book of Judges, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron. You know, prayers bouncing off the ceiling. And your earth as brass. That means nothing's growing in the field. And your strength shall be spent in vain. Your labor a lot, but you won't produce anything. For your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. You know what that is? That's called famine. And God said, if you forsake me, you're going to suffer a severe penalty. And they did. Now, God has many arrows in his quiver. He sends the Midianites to oppress Israel. Oh, he's so mean. No, that was in order to bring them back. He wanted his people back, right? Now, when by that judgment they were not reformed, he sends famine. Now they're being attacked by the Midianites and they have no food to eat. It's getting worse. Do you know what this represents, folks? Listen carefully. What they have today in Israel, spiritual famine and enemy attack. Hear what I said? Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, all these punks that want to wipe out Israel, God's allowing them to attack Israel. You got to understand something. God is not happy with the Jews today. Yes, they're still the elect nation. And yes, they will be redeemed at the end of the tribulation period. But they're in unbelief right now. God doesn't like that. So he's allowing what? He's allowing enemy attack. Like he does here in the book of Ruth. You see that? Now, in the book of Judges, I should say. They have a famine, and it's a spiritual famine. How few Jews are saved today? Born again, like Dr. Fruchtenbaum. You know? Joel, Ellie's favorite there. Joel Rosenberg, great man of God. Jewish. There are Jews that are saved, but so few. So few. Why? Because as a whole, Israel is still in unbelief. At Cornell University, last year, a group of Christian students organized a once-a-week rice lunch in order to raise funds for a worthy cause. Over the course of the first semester, they raised $12,000. During the second semester, they raised another $13,000. So they took the money and used it for famine relief in Africa through an agency of the UN. You know what? That's great. But no matter how much money they raise, it's not going to eliminate spiritual famine. They need the gospel. Yes, they need food to eat, sure. But they also need Jesus Christ. That's so important. First thing I see tonight, there was spiritual famine. But secondly, notice there was a family in distress. Back to our text in Ruth chapter 1. There was a family in distress. You know that God will bring a family into distress in order to draw them to him? God knows how to create problems and allow problems in our lives. But it's all part of his drawing to his son. Look at it. And we read in verse 1, there was a family in distress. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, full-blooded Jew, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, foreign country, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Now, notice here that Naomi's whole family was suffering because of this famine. And at the same time, they're getting enemy attack from the Midianites, right? So they've got problems. They need God. You ever find yourself in that position where you need God? My daughter does right now. Tonight she's got a hole in her intestine. She needs God. Listen, Mahlon, his name in Hebrew means sickness. The son of Naomi and Elimelech. Chilion, his name means consumption. Not good names. Listen, that's what spiritual famine does to entire families. They're spiritually sick. And they're spiritually consumed. See that? They were a family in great distress. Now, in Amos, hold your place in Ruth. Flip over to Amos for a minute. Minor prophet. Amos. just after Joel, you'll find the little book of Amos, and just before Obadiah. So if I could find those, I'd be all set. Amos, used to be in your Bible. Amos, look with me at Amos chapter 8. Amos is an incredible book, by the way. Got to get through this one time, too. In Amos chapter 8, look at verse 10. This is God speaking. Verse 10. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Listen to me, people. Israel today, Naomi's affliction, is in a state of not hearing the words of the Lord. They have rejected the entire New Testament as a whole, and they're not hearing the words of the Lord. They've got spiritual famine. And they're a family, Israel, in distress. Now, Naomi and her family, back to Ruth. Naomi and her family do perfectly represent most families in America today. They're rich. They have boats. They have houses. They have cars. They have all kinds of possessions, materialistically. But they're poor as a beggar, spiritually. They have no wealth. See? They don't even know. They don't have two knuckles to rub together, spiritually. Listen. The nation of Israel today is a family in distress. And man, are they ever in distress. The Palestinians, the Egyptians, the Iranians, the Syrians, and all the like are seeking to annihilate the Jews. They're in distress, the family of Naomi. Naomi, Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, they're all in great distress here. They don't have food to eat. And as a result, what do? They flee. They fled to a country called Moab, an enemy country. Now, in the spring of 1948, Joe Peterson and his English professor sailed from Maine to Europe in a 42-year-old boat with waves 40 feet high. Wow. The professor caught his right arm between the boom and the rigging. It was chopped off at the shoulder. As the storm continued many days, they found themselves in great distress. Finally, they spotted land and both survived, but not without a price to pay. He lost his arm. See, you can get into real distress and there's a price to pay. Sometimes we're scarred by that distress, but God is working. They did survive. Okay, we've seen a spiritual famine. We've seen a family in distress, but thirdly, we see a family removed. A family removed. Look at verse 1 again. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab, and what? Continued there. They weren't on vacation. They weren't just taking a day trip. They continued there. I see a family removed from home. Listen, folks. Somebody tell me, why was there no famine in Moab? Think. They know not God. They're heathen pagan idolaters. Yet they had no famine. They had plenty of food to eat down in Moab. Why? Because God's not going to spank someone else's kids. See that? Israel was under divine judgment. Folks, listen to me. I believe America is falling under divine judgment tonight, as sure as I'm standing here. We're seeing all kinds of mass killings, terrorism. We're seeing all kinds of violence. We're seeing ISIS terrorist attacks. We're seeing wicked politicians coming to power. I mean, it's getting worse and worse, and we're becoming a country that knows not God. But who did Naomi represent? Oh yeah, Israel. And Israel, in AD 70, was removed from their own land. They were scattered all over the world by the Roman armies. And you know what? They've been scattered for 2,000 years. Now, we know that the first regathering in unbelief began in 1948. It's been continuing ever since. But the second regathering, which will take place at the end of the tribulation period, will be a regathering in belief. All Israel will be saved. See that? So, keep those things in mind. Yes, it's a family removed, but God still has a plan for them. Let me ask you a question. Did God abandon Naomi and Elimelech and her sons down there in Moab? No. He still loved them. He still had a plan for them. He had a plan, in fact, for Naomi's daughter-in-law to meet a guy named Boaz, who we're going to talk about in a few weeks down the road. Now, there are far more Jews in the rest of the world than there are today in Israel. Did you know that? There's 17 million Jews worldwide. 6 million of those are in Israel. That means more than double are all around the world. Why? They're removed, a family removed. Now, they've been removed from the promised land because of their rejection of God's Son. But he will regather them. Don't become a replacement theologian. You'll be all wrong doctrinally. We've got 2 million Jews in New York alone. You know what they call New York? Little Jerusalem. That's what they call New York. Little Jerusalem. There's so many Jews. Now, the removal of Elimelech and his family here in verse 2 is an evidence of a discontented, distrustful, unstable spirit. They panicked. It didn't say God kicked them out. It says Elimelech. Look at it. And verse 2. And verse 1, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He said, family, pack up. We're leaving town. And they left. You know what that shows me? A distrust. A distrust of God. They fled from the problem. You know what, folks? When we got problems in our lives, don't run away. Don't hide under a rock. Pray and seek God's face and seek his will. He will see you through that difficulty. As hard as it, impossible as it may seem, all things are possible with God. Now, it's easy to stay put when things are going well. But as soon as some difficulty, tribulation, trials come our way, you know what we want to do? We want to hide. Or we want to just pay attention. We want to pretend the problem doesn't exist. That's not God's way. 2 Kings. Flip over to 2 Kings real quick. Hold your place again in Ruth. 2 Kings chapter 24. In 2 Kings chapter 24. Oh, there's so much spiritual typology in the book of Ruth. It's amazing. A family removed. A spiritual famine. Look with me here in 2 Kings 24. Look at verse 2. And the Lord sent against him, that's Israel, bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, enemies of Israel. See the Moabites, enemies? Bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it. What? Why in the world would God be so mean? According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah. To what? Remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. Listen, folks, sin is serious business. People, God's people even, in America today, don't take it seriously. Well, you know, I can live like the world, and I can get involved in this and that, and it won't hurt me. Yeah, it will. Don't you listen to the devil. Sin will hurt you. God will remove you. This is serious business. Now, it is reported that there are some 6 million Jews in Israel today. But the religious faith of the vast majority of them is neither Judaism nor Christianity. Most affirm to be atheists or a liberalized form of Judaism. And very few accept Jesus Christ as their true Messiah. That's why they're a family removed today. Israel, listen folks, Israel is still under divine judgment from 2,000 years ago when they rejected the Messiah. They're still under divine judgment. The day's coming when they will be restored. We need to remember that, and we need to pray for them. But thirdly, a family removed. Fourthly, I see something else. Notice a deviation from God's laws. This always accompanies a spiritual famine. A deviation from God's laws. Look at verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. What? The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. and they dwelled there about 10 years. Now, here is a direct violation of the law of Moses given by God to these people. Remember, he said, do not marry the heathen. And folks, listen, it was forbidden for any Jew to marry outside of their own tribe, let alone a heathen Gentile. They couldn't even marry outside of their own tribe to keep the 12 tribes' bloodlines pure. Deuteronomy chapter 7, quickly. In Deuteronomy, we have this law, which they knew full well, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 1. When, not if, but when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and all the Ites peoples, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Naomi, Elimelech. Why? For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods, like the gods of the Moabites. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Now, folks, here is a clear command from the God of Israel to his people. But how many people today, God's people today, make this mistake? Oh, he's so cute. Oh, he'll get saved someday. I'll win him to the Lord. And she marries the guy, and he never gets to church, and he never gets saved. And she's miserable as a result. Why? Not supposed to marry the unbeliever. See that? Once a person begins to deviate from God's ways in one area of their life, it just opens up the floodgates to disobey in many other areas. Sin is infectious. You know, your little bit, you know, the devil whispers in your ear, a little bit won't hurt you. Yeah, well, don't listen to the devil. He's a liar. These women that they married were not proselytes to Judaism. Look at verse 15. Ruth chapter 1. Look at verse 15. They were not proselytes. They weren't Jewish by faith. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto what? Her gods. She's an idolater. She's worshiping idol gods. Those are demons. And return thou after thy sister-in-law. Naomi says, hey, she's gone back to your gods. Why don't you go too? Now, Naomi was testing her to see if she really wanted to become a follower of Yahweh. Elimelech did not restrain his sons from going outside of God's restrictions, and he'll pay a severe price. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. He's gone. He made some mistakes, and he paid a price. Now let me make a statement. You cannot deviate from God's ways and violate God's laws without procuring some harm and misery to yourself. Sin brings misery. Amen? There's no more preaching against sin today. It's like, you know, oh man, it's like, oh, we got a rock band coming in Friday night. You're going to be here for the rock band? You know what that is? That's the world in the church. That's entertainment. That is not God's way. Researchers tell us that the foot in the door technique is the most effective in swaying people. In one experiment, literal scientific experiment, in Palo Alto, California, most subjects who initially agreed to put a tiny little sign in their front window supporting a good cause subsequently agreed to display a full billboard in their front yard, which required allowing diggers to make sizable holes in their lawns, whereas those not asked to take the first step, the little sign in the window, refused the larger one immediately, 99% of the time. But most of the ones who agreed to the little sign said, sure, to the big one. Why? Foot in the door technique. That's how sin is. Starts with just a little bit. There's more. There's a big billboard of sin. See that? Now, a deviation from God's law, we see. But finally, tonight, notice the wages of sin received. Verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, and her two sons. Verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, Let me ask you a question. Did Malin and Chilean know that they weren't supposed to marry Moabite women? Yeah, they were full-blooded Jews. They went to synagogue every Saturday. They heard the priest teaching the law. They knew that they weren't supposed to. Oh, but she's so cute. I want to marry her. No, you better not. And they made that mistake, and in verse 5, they died. Wow. I'm not saying that sin's going to kill you. Well, it could if you kept... I mean, if you get into certain sin, it can kill you. Drugs, alcohol poisoning, all kinds of wickedness out there. Now, we're seeing Naomi's affliction tonight, right? Here we see the result of disobedience. Death. Malin dies. Chilean dies. Elimelech dies. Why? For the disobedience. Violation of God's laws. This judgment upon Naomi's family portrays for us the spiritual death that Israel lies in today. She is separated from God. She is dead in sin. Oh, you've got to follow these types that I gave you at the beginning. Naomi is dead in sin today. She needs reviving, and only Jesus Christ can give it to her. That baby that would be born to her daughter-in-law. I see three things in closing tonight from these deaths. First of all, that wherever we go, wherever we try to hide from God, we cannot outrun death, whose fatal arrows fly in all places. You can't hide from God. If you know, there's people who, you remember Jonah? He said, I'll just get in a ship going the other way and I'll run away from God. He'll forget all about me. No, the ship was going down. They threw him overboard so they wouldn't all die. And he ended up being a good prophet, a prophet of God. But folks, wherever we go, God's arrows can find you. You can't hide from God. Secondly, that we cannot expect to prosper when we go out of the way of our duty. Jesus said, he that will save his life shall lose it. So we might as well just confide in God and live for him. Amen? It's the best way we should go. Thirdly, that our enjoyments here on earth are so uncertain, Naomi, and so transient that it is our wisdom not to make them our hope. When Naomi lost her husband, she thinks to find comfort in her sons. But how quickly are they removed as well? You see, whatever you're comforted in, whatever you're confiding in, whatever you're trusting in, God will remove that. God will take and say, you need me, not that thing or that person. Oh, yes. Just ask Naomi. Now, beloved, this is Naomi's affliction tonight. But fear not. It's all part of God's plan for her. He must bring Naomi, that's Israel, into great affliction before he can accomplish his great plans and purposes for her. God's got a plan for Naomi, and you're going to love it. He's going to bring her back to the land. He's going to restore her. Oh, it's going to get gooder and gooder, as they say down south, in the weeks ahead. Trust me. Let me give you this in closing, and we'll be done. Amy Carmichael, a writer, she wrote, the word malleable comes from the Latin. It means a metal that can be hammered out. Ductile is also from Latin, and it means capable of being drawn out into wire. The dictionary gives tough, tractable, docile amongst its meanings. Am I slack about my quiet times with the Lord? Or down about something that weakens me? Then the word for me is hold on. Don't be slack. Be in earnest, for my soul hangeth upon thee. My soul followeth hard after thee, Carmichael wrote. Am I tired? Tempted to fear? Tempted to be discouraged? There is no need, for underneath are the everlasting arms, and thy right hand upholdeth me. Taken right from the Bible. Beloved, we've seen Naomi's affliction. But mark my words, God has not forgotten her. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for Naomi's affliction. What a type this is, Lord, of Israel's affliction tonight. She has been removed from the promised land. There's spiritual famine in Israel tonight. Lord, I thank you that you've got a plan to restore Naomi's race to the promised land. You'll set up a glorious 1,000-year messianic kingdom on earth. It's going to be wonderful, Lord. And we'll be your servants in that kingdom. Thank you so much tonight for the word of God. Lord, we look forward to the next few weeks as we delve deep into this book. And we see all of the types. I especially think of that great type that kinsman redeemer, that kinsman redeemer who is related to Ruth and Naomi, who married Ruth, who became her redeemer. Oh, Lord, and I think of that new birth of Obed. That little baby was born because of the union of the kinsman redeemer and Ruth, the bride of Christ. Babies were born. Lord, we thank you that we are to bring forth fruit, much fruit, and that our fruit should remain by winning souls to thee. Lord, we thank you for the types tonight, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for strengthening us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. Prior to our Wednesday night prayer meeting, church family prayer meeting, we will sing one. Let's see here. I think we need to praise him. Hymn 111. We'll stand. And we'll sing all three. Yes, praise him, Fanny Crosby.
Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest of angels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. My God, shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He brought our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Portals loud with hosanna sing. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. His excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Remain standing as we close tonight in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the message from Ruth chapter 1. And Lord, we thank you that as we study these passages, we can see real-time events in the world today that are reflected therein. Lord, your word is alive. It is amazing. And we're so grateful for it tonight. Where would we be without the Bible, Lord? We'd be so lost. We'd be so in the dark. We'd be so unknowing. But Lord, because of your word, because of your Holy Spirit, because of Jesus, we know the end from the beginning, and our hearts are greatly comforted thereby. We thank you for that tonight, Father, that you've adopted us. You made us your children. And we thank you, Lord, for Naomi and Ruth and Orpah down there in Moab, that you had not forgotten about her. Lord, you had a special divine plan to bring her back and to restore her. Oh, thank you so much, Lord, that you never give up on us today. Lord, no matter what we go through in our lives, if we get off stray, if we get off kilt, you're faithful and to gently bring us back, lovingly bring us back to the fold where we belong. We're so thankful for that kind of guidance. Lord, we love you tonight and we pray for our nation. We pray, Lord, that you would bless America with revival. We thank you for the one that's begun down in North Carolina. We thank you so much for those tent meetings where 1,300 souls were saved over the past few weeks. And Lord, we thank you that that preacher is going to take his tent all across America and bring revival meetings to every state. Oh, Lord, I can't wait for them to come to New Hampshire. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless his labors. They would not be in vain, but there, Lord, that revival would break out not just in North Carolina, but all over America before it's too late, Lord. I believe we've already come into a time period of divine judgment. I believe the hammer is beginning to fall. And oh, Lord, the only hope for America is Jesus Christ. A true repentance, a true turning to the Lord Jesus is the only thing that will do for us, Lord. We pray for our country to come back to its Christian roots. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's. I think we'll pair up tonight. If you folks can't unable to stay, it's okay. But we'd love for you to stay for the prayer meeting. We have a family prayer meeting after Wednesday night service.
Never heard of not staying for prayer.
Amen. We like her already. I'm going to team up with Jason. And maybe Dawn can team up with Ellie.
If we have three, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, the three. Yeah, that'd be even better. Good job, man.
Are you sure?
I
just grab this,
so
I don't miss anyone.
Yeah.
You
really don't know
who's going to
hold
it. The Lord knows. Yes. Absolutely. Why don't I just pull my chair?
I'll start.
I can start.
If you please, sir. Lord, we just thank you so much tonight for Brother Jason here. And Lord, what a blessing to meet him this morning, Dawn. And Lord, we pray that they would find a home here with us and they'd be blessed. They feel loved and welcomed and cared for, Lord, and prayed for
tonight.
And Lord, we just thank you. We pray that you would continue to bring more folks to the church, Lord. We want to grow. And it would kind of like last of the Mohicans here up in Hooks, but standing on the King James, Lord. We're so thankful for a church that does. And Lord, we just ask you to bless us in every way. Give us souls, Lord. We want to bring more souls today. And I thank you, Lord, that the message is going out all around the world. On the website,
has,
I know that
problems,
I'm getting
Lord,
letters from people getting saved all over the world,
and
also I'm getting letters from pastors in Africa, Australia, all over Europe, they're using the messages for their churches, and Lord, there's no copyright on preaching. I thank you for that. I count it an honor if another preacher wants to preach my message. That's awesome, and Lord, I pray that you continue to use that website for your own glory. I pray that Jesus, you will be exalted through it. And then on the prayer list tonight, we have many needs. I want to think of Franny. Tonight, Franny's in rehab, Lord. You know her problems, Lord. We pray for a miracle of healing for Sister Franny. And then she would be out of that treatment center soon and be back in church with us. She loves coming. And, but Lord, she definitely needs grace and strength and healing, even in her mind. Father, we also want to think of Mike tonight. Brother Mike, we want to come back to you, Lord. And then Ben has been coming back to the church, Lord. He needs a revival in his life. And I pray, Lord, that he would find his way back to you. Father, I want to pray for safety for myself while doing the Uber job. Lord, picking up many strangers. I thank you for watching over me on the road to take care of me, Lord. Thank you for those holy angels that surround us. They go everywhere with us and they protect us from harm or danger. Lord, also we want to pray tonight for Pastor Leon and his wife Phyllis. We thank you for them, Lord. They come on Sunday mornings, of course, and they're such a blessing to the church. Probably in their upper 80s, they're really getting old, but Lord, you're keeping them strong, you're keeping them going. And I thank you for Pastor Lee, and he pastored that church right here in Hooks for 35 years. What a man of God. This is such an encouragement to me. And I pray you bless them and for Phyllis, for their daughter, granddaughter. We pray for her for a divine deliverance, that she would find you, Lord Jesus, as her strength. Because, Lord, we know that she got involved in drugs and she almost committed suicide. We pray that you would just help her to find the peace that passes understanding in Jesus Christ alone. And then we also want to mention like Sarah Jackson. Sarah Jackson is in the nursing home with Mary Warren. And we pray for her for a miracle of healing, Lord. You know her situation. We pray that they would find out what's causing that internal bleeding. That you raise her up from that sick bed and she could be back in church with us. Lord, she loves coming here. Even though she's in a wheelchair, she loves coming here. And she gets in just fine on the wheelchair and up on the back. And we pray that Lord, we see her again. Soon, and that you would just touch her. You're the great physician, Lord. Also, we want to pray tonight for Stephen and Lisa and the girls as they come from Florida to visit. And we just thank you for this family, Lord. Bless them. Thank you that they know you and they go to a good Baptist church down there in Vegas and Orlando. Father, we also pray for travel mercies. We pray for Brother Wilson. We thank you for his prison ministry, John Wilson, Lord. Thank you that he goes to preach at every single penitentiary in New England, all six states. What a blessing that is, because Lord, prisoners are getting saved. Thank you that he's got a captive audience, so to say. But dear Lord, thank you that they're truly coming to Jesus Christ through his preaching of the gospel. That's a great blessing, Lord, because they need you. They need you if they want to come out and become productive citizens. Then, Lord, we pray for Zena, our oldest daughter in the hospital. Lord, we pray that you would just heal her from that hole in her intestine, Lord. We pray that the doctors, when they go in tomorrow with a scope, that it would be healed, that there would be a miracle, that it would be all fine, and they would say, wow, it's gone, Lord. But if not, we pray that you give the doctors wisdom and how to treat it. We thank you. She's in your hands, Lord. We pray tonight for a piano player for the church, Lord. You know, we've been praying for a piano player for a couple of years now. And the music deck works okay, Lord, but there's nothing like a live piano player that we can pick any song in the book. We don't have to go by the discs. And Lord, we pray you bring one along for us in your timing. And then, Lord, we pray for the missionaries we support. We think of Bob and Hazel Carrot in Mongolia. And we think of Louise Wan in the Philippines. Tiffany McDonald in Thailand. The Tignall family in Ecuador. The Fellowship Track League, Lord, worldwide KJV track distribution. And finally, for the church website. We thank you, Lord, for these seven missions, outreaches, and we pray that each one would bring forth much fruit, that many, many souls will be saved as a result of these ministries going around the world. And we just thank you tonight, Lord, for being our Savior. Thank you for a good service. Thank you for bringing Jason and John. It's a blessing to meet them tonight. We pray we see them again, too. And Lord, bless Jason as he continues in school. He's going back probably next month to school. And it's hard. Public school is hard, Lord, because he's surrounded by unbelieving kids. And they can be mean. They can be bullies. And my Lord, I just pray, hedge of protection round about him, that your holy angels would go before him, that you would watch over him day and night, Lord, and you would be the strength of his life. I thank you for this young man, Lord. There's no telling what you might do through him. He might become a great preacher, Lord. He might become a great missionary. He might become a Christian school teacher. We don't know. Or he might just become a truck driver, whatever you have in mind for his life, Lord. You should tarry. Let your will be done in Jason's life. We thank you for it all in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. We've been here for 3.5 December?
I don't know. I'm getting confused. I don't like
the field. Plus the church is a hand.
You know what that is?
Has the talent.
She wants to be
the grandchild of
Vivian.
200 years. Watch the year.
She's old and she can use that big pie.
She gets phone calls from the men's mission friends that want to help them to also be able to do their
area. Well, that's a wrong and they got heat like this.
Yeah, I didn't know how much to pray on the list and how much to leave for others. But
oh, yeah.
Good.
Okay. We can cover all.
Yes.
The Lord covers all.
Good timing, ladies. We just finished, too.
Oh, that's wonderful.
There's not many.
And we visited.